Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. Good afternoon, good night, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new episode of Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Hello, I'm Audrey.
And I'm Marcus. And today's guests of honor, are Adrienne Lejeune and Terence Chung.
They are the nuclei of the team of NeoScience. Hello, guys.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Hi.
We're very happy to have you here. Let's start. So we've seen that NeoScience is a company of three founders. Can you talk to me about yourself, your background, your third founder, and how did you meet?
Yep, sure. I can start. So my name is Adrienne, as you said. I've been working here. My studies were here in business administration in ISHEC. And maybe Terence, you introduce yourself first, and then we can say how we all meet with Flavio, which is the third co-founder.
Yeah, so my name is Terence, and my background is in biology, and I specialized specifically in ecology and environmental sciences at Imperial College London. And that's also where I met Flavio, which is our third co-founder. And we actually came up with the idea for NeoOceans, as it was a bit of a passion project because from studying in science and environmental sciences, we knew that there were a lot of environmental problems. That's what we were passionate about. And we really wanted to tackle those problems. But I just felt a bit disillusioned from academia, that I wasn't really making a real world impact. And that's when I wanted to sort of take a little bit of a step back and try to start an environmental business, because that's where I saw that I could actually see the impact that I'm having for the environment. And that's when I approached Flavio, our third co-founder, to come up with an idea that we can help the environment, make use of our scientific background, and just have a really practical application as well. So the idea for NeoOceans just came about, I wouldn't say randomly, it was a systematic process, but we just listed out all the problems we knew the environment faced. So from plastic pollution to deforestation, and we just listed out all the problems. And that's how we first approached with coming up with a business idea. So we wanted to be really problem driven. And from all the problems that we listed, we were just bouncing off various business ideas that could help tackle the problems. And we actually came up with quite a few ideas at the beginning, sort of five or six ideas. And we then did bunch of surveys and questionnaires asking everyone we knew around us on the internet, everything from all the ideas we came up with, to get feedback on what people thought was the best idea, and do they think it's a good idea or it was just complete trash. And we came up on the idea of NeoOceans because that was just by far the idea of recycling ocean waste flip-flops into new pairs of sandals that are themselves recyclable, and it's a completely circular manufacturing process that just by far had the most positive reception, and people were most enthusiastic about that idea. So that's sort of the very beginnings of NeoOceans. And Adrienne, if you would like to speak a little bit yourself as well on how you joined.
But absolutely.
Yeah, we are both from scientific backgrounds, and we knew we needed someone with a bit more of a business background. And that's why we approached Adrienne, because we knew he had a very strong business background to join us as well.
Yep, exactly. Well, you did it very well, Terence, introducing all of us. And just the glue between all of us to start with was Flavio, because I was with Flavio, so he knew me. And then when they met at Imperial College in London, they could just, well, Flavio knew I was staying in Belgium and knew about my study. And that's how the three of us met for the first time.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
Could you, without going into too much detail, outline the process of your work?
It all started in Thailand. with a professor of university, which actually has an NGO collecting waste and making sheets out of them. Mm-hmm. So what we decided to do is use those sheets to make new sandals, as Terence said. So basically what's interesting about this project is flip-flops are for the moment in developing countries, a type of waste that cannot be recycled or upcycled. Mm-hmm. They're just taken from the ocean and beaches and they are thrown out into landfills. Mm. So this professor of university with his NGO is making sheets out of them. And we take those sheets into Spain where the rest of the process takes place to make them sandals. And what was important for us is to not repeat, obviously, the mistake, which is make our own sandal recyclable, 100% recyclable. So at the end of their life, you can just send it back to us and we can reshred, repress, and remake the process.
I see.
Okay. So you collect waste in Thailand, okay? Do you collect any plastic or it has to be something peculiar?
So for the moment, we focus on EVA flip-flops. So basically majority of the flip-flops, just because, as we said, it's a type of waste that can be recycled. For example, PET or other type of plastic, they can be recycled at the moment. So we do not focus on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just worth saying as well, sorry, that the people we work with, they do collect all types of plastic waste. They collect everything that they find. But because, as Adrian mentioned, that the other types of plastic waste, they are recyclable. They usually have ways of dealing with them. Sometimes company wants to buy them to make recycled bottles and so on. Mm-hmm. So those already have routes of being dealt with. So they could collect everything. But with the waste flip-flops, which usually contribute to a huge proportion of the cleans, from our experience, no one wants anything to do with it. Like, there's no process to deal with them. They just usually end up in landfills. So that's where we make use of it and sort of take that unusable waste. But they collect everything, but we take just specifically the waste flip-flops from them.
Absolutely. And just to jump on that, why flip-flop as well? It's actually the most common sold footwear, with more than 3 billion pairs being produced each year. And still, it's a problem that none of us knew about before we dug into it. So we realized early on that there was a massive impact that could be dealt with. And last point I wanted to mention as well is in the sandals, it's not only 100% recyclable sandals. We also add, for example, for the straps, polyester, which is made from ocean fishing nets and ocean bottles, and the insole and outsole. Because if you see our sandals, there is three layers. The really thin layer on top is 70% recycled EVA from post-production of the shoe industry. And then the bottom layer is 90% recycled as well.
Okay. Thank you.
What is the biggest problem you face with your resource, i.e. the plastic waste?
Well, I would say at the moment, if we had to change something in the process, would be to collect it from elsewhere, just because getting waste in Thailand at the moment means there is a huge transport from Thailand to Europe where all the rest is being done, and we want the recuperation scheme. Recuperation scheme is what we talked about early on, where we want the customers to send back the sandals, it's being reused and so on. So all of it will be done in Europe. So in terms of pure plastic, we know that there is the same problem in Africa, for example. So we would like to develop some partnership with it that would diminish the length of the supply chain.
Mm. Oh, good idea. Someone in Europe buys a flip-flop, okay? Wears it for, I don't know, let's say 3 summers and then want to throw it away. What happens?
So they can, if they send it back to us, and that's something we forgot to mention, there is an incentive to send it back to us, of course. It's they get a discount for the next product they buy from us.
Okay.
So basically, we want the sandal to last about 4 or 5 years in terms of durability. So this leaves us 4 or 5 years to nail exactly the recuperation scheme. But ideally, we don't want people, all of them individually, sending it back to us because it makes no sense from a transport point of view. We want them, for example, to be collect points in every big shop that they would go to usually. And then us, we do 1 or 2 pickup, depending on the volume, I don't know, per 2 weeks or per month, collecting all of them together.
Okay, very good. And so you said you can they are recyclable. How many times?
We hope at three. It's a figure that early on we work with a R&D company, and then that's what more or less we think we could get without degrading the durability and quality of the material. But there are still huge tests that needs to be made, and still see since we are always trying to better the sheets, but also bettering the products, there might be some variation of it. But let's say three times for the moment. It's our best guess.
Okay.
And after that, so you made a very upcycled product with your sandals, and then you tried to recycle it at least three times. Do you know what to, or do you already have a partner? Do you know what you're going to do with it after this recycled cycle, recycled or recycled?
So what are we going to do with what?
When you cannot recycle them without losing the durability. Do you know what you're going to do with the plastic? Do you already have a partner or not yet?
No, nope, that's a very good question. We know that there is one company in Africa making sculptures out of flip-flops, so maybe we could ask for a partnership with them.
Okay.
We haven't thought about that yet, but of course, if there is an opportunity to make something out of those waste when we cannot use them, it would just be normal and in line with our values to find something else for them.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think to add to what Adrian said as well, when he said we can only recycle it a certain number of times, it's sort of a bit more complicated because as we mentioned, if you've seen our sandals, they split into several layers. So our middle layer, if you've seen our product, is sort of the multicolored speckled layer in the middle. And that's where we use the process of utilizing the waste flip-flops and making those sheets that we talked about. That particular part of the sandal can actually be recycled, as far as we know at the moment, as many times as we want. The professor that we have worked with, he has, I think, recycled those sheets up to seven times, and he's still not seen sort of any signs of there being sort of any reason that he can't do it more than that. But that's just the amount of times that he has done it and know it works. As for the other layers, the recycled EVA and so on, because that doesn't use the same process that the mid layer does, then that's where there becomes a bit more complications of how durable can they still be, like their quality, as we go through the recycling process more. But because of that middle layer, it's a different process that can be sort of done as many times as we want. And with our recuperation scheme, we talk about what will we do with the future waste as well. For the other layers, that's when Adrian mentioned we need to sort of find partners with that. But as for that mid layer, we can take that back in ourselves and reshred it and reprocess it to make the sheets and make our new sandals again, sort of as many times as we possibly can.
Super.
So that's really circularity at work.
Exactly. And that's why we wanted to introduce the recuperation scheme as well, because it's like a win-win situation, right? It's a win for the environment that it doesn't end up back in the environment, but it's also a way for us to get some of our raw materials back that we can then reprocess and reuse as well. And so it was just a really good win-win solution for everyone.
Very good. Can you tell us how many collaborators are you?
So at the moment, there is six of us. Two of them might leave for personal reasons. But yeah, majority of the work so far has been done by six people. So us three co-founders and then three amazing girls that works with us that helps us a lot with all the design, the social media, and much more.
Okay. Well, at least it's a 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. It is. And plus, like, there is not really... each one is responsible for their role, so it's really not... It's like a flat structure. There is not us three above and then all the others. We really try to... we are all in this together. There is no... No, as I said, there is no hierarchy. And yeah, we just work together with the same passion and the same amount of responsibilities.
And about that last question, can you tell us where are you all? So you, Adrien, you are in Brussels, in Belgium.
Yeah, exactly.
Terence, you're in London, right?
Yes, I'm in London at the moment.
Okay, your third co-founder, where is he?
So he's in Montreal, in Canada.
And your three other collaborators, where are they?
So one girl, well, she used to be in London, but now she will travel a bit in the US. And one is with Flavio. So one is Flavio's girlfriend that used to take care of social media. She is with him in Montreal. And then the last one is in India. And we all met actually in London to start with because of the various studies. And we actually used some students to help us establish some stuff at the really start of the project. And they liked the project and the team so much that they decided to stay. So this is the where it all started. And then from there, and that's also something we learned to work with. Everyone has his own task, but also flexibility to work out how they want. So we can just work from around the world.
Very well. That's fun. Well, we like this international structure of your company. It's quite nice. Okay. A question about social sustainability. So for us at Trianon, when we work on sustainability issues, and for us, sustainability is really people, planet, and profit. And we see, so because you're working with this NGO in Thailand, we wanted to know if you had an insight on who's working with you. Are they well paid? If their work, their job, is it sustainable? How did you have a look at it, or you just let the NGO taking care of all of this?
That one is a bit hard to answer, because maybe Flavio know more than me, but it was Flavio, so the third co-founder, that was really the link to the professor in Thailand. I don't know if you know more than this, Terence.
Yeah, so in terms of the NGO that we work with, let's answer about their pay first. So with people who collect the waste, those are all volunteers. It's part of an initiative over in Asia called the Trash Heroes. And they work with volunteers mostly who collect all the plastic waste from, they do beach cleans and so on. And the professor who we collaborate with, they process the waste in the university that he works in to process, sort of wash the waste flip-flops, clean them, and the other process that are required before pressing them into shredding them and pressing them into sheets. That process is just the professor organizes that, and we pay them for the sheets. So Adrian mentioned, Flavio will know a bit more about this, but we pay them for the sheets at a rate,
let's say, at a really good rate.
Yeah,
that financed the project basically. That they're
exactly
doing.
It's it covers everything, that from their work hours to their materials to everything they need, and it continues financing their project to process these wastes and carry on the beach cleans and do all the stuff they need to do. That's all we can really dive into.
Okay.
And then I'm the one, obviously, I'm the one in charge of manufacturing at the moment. And for all the manufacturers we have in Spain, we have been visiting them and so on. And of course, the standards are way, would say, better and more formalized in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've been there several times, and everything is done really great with the way, well, great working conditions and so on. But of course, it's monitored in Europe, so it's easier to answer.
And that is something that is important for us as well. And that's why we chose a manufacturer in Europe for a couple of reasons. As Adrian mentioned, one, just the standards are a bit more established and a bit better monitored. And it's also easier for us, since we are mainly European based, that we can visit the manufacturers ourselves on a regular basis to be able to actually check up on sort of the conditions, the way the work is being carried out, and everything related to that.
Oh, super good.
That sounds super interesting, yeah. Yes.
Before our last question, we would like to congratulate you for your crowdfunding action. We've read that it was very successful this summer, so really congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And to finish our podcast, we have a last question that is our traditional question that we're going to ask to the two of you. So each of you will have to answer.
Okay.
Sure.
So our traditional magic wand question. If you had a magic wand to do whatever you please over the next 3 years, other than winning the lottery, but really work-related, what would you do with it?
I think what I would do, because I haven't had the chance to go to Indonesia myself, but where the project started, when Flavio and Terence went there, and they said they were really shocked by the amount of plastic that they found on beaches and the oceans. But mainly as well, they were really shocked by not only in education and infrastructure, but the habits of people as well. Like you could see native there just drinking their cans in the boat, for example, and then just throw it away in the ocean because they just don't realize the weight of their actions. So if I had a magic wand, I would just allow all of them, like in all developing countries and everyone, to have a basic education, and not for them to make the sustainable choice, but at least to give them the choice and the understanding of their actions. I think that's what I would do.
Perfect. And you, Terence?
Would be, if I had a magic wand, I would, if I could, I would hit the reset button on the environment, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
That
if we could still keep all the knowledge that we have, all the technology that we have, but we can just hit a reset button where we can start from scratch and choose how we use those technologies and how we make use of our environmental resources with the knowledge that we have now. Because a lot of the systems and so on we have in place that we know are harmful for the environment, but we've become reliant upon them, and it's kind of, they're too much ingrained into our economy, our society, to be able to just switch them off now just because of the way things have been built.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if we were able to just start from scratch and be able to choose, or actually we can use this system or this technology, but it has to be built up in a different way that is more sustainable or more efficient. I think that would be my biggest wish, in a way, because I don't necessarily feel a lot of these things are wrong, but maybe that the framework that we have built up for them from the beginning has just been, it's just not been the best way of utilizing various things, and thus we've ended up with the impact that we've had on our environment now.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, if New Ocean won the lottery, there is a lot we could do as well. Just saying.
True. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Insightful interview.
So that was New Oceans, and thank you to listeners to be there.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.